I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. For nearly 100 years, government agencies in Australia forcibly removed Aboriginal children from their families. About 100,000 were taken from their parents. The policy was supposed to assimilate Aborigines into white Australian society. That policy has since been repudiated. Some of the children, now known as the Stolen Generations, ended up in orphanages. Others were placed with white families, and a few were sent abroad. Reporter Phil Mercer has the story now of Levin Ennis, an Aboriginal child who ended up in London, England.
Levin Ennis says when he was growing up, he never felt like he fit in.
All the time that I spent in England, I've had this feeling of where do I belong? What are my people? Who am I? Not knowing my identity has plagued me for 35 years of my life without a shadow of a doubt.
Ennis was born to an Aboriginal woman in Sydney in 1969. She was told he died at birth. Within weeks, Ennis was sent to Britain, where he was adopted by a middle-class family. They knew he came from Australia, but nothing else. Ennis went to a private school in London and studied art in college. He later fell in with a gang.
This was all just to sort of find acceptance of who I am, where I am, that lostness in me, I think. And my close companions in the gang were my family, what I thought were my family, you know.
Ennis eventually went to prison for drug and weapons offences. He served 12 years. When he got out, his mother suggested he go to Australia to find out about his roots. That's when he learnt about his history.
The removal of Aboriginal children from their families and traditional lives began in the late 1800s and continued.
Documentaries recount the stories of the Stolen Generations. Australia ended the policy of forcibly removing Aboriginal children from their families in the 1970s, and Prime Minister Kevin Rudd formally apologised in 2008.
To the mothers and the fathers, the brothers and the sisters, for the breaking up of families and communities, we say sorry.
But critics say the government has done little beyond apologising to help them, and the policy itself remains a contentious part in Australia's history, says Alison Holland from Macquarie University.
There were a lot of people, missionaries, ex-missionaries, people who had been involved in it, patrol officers, people who, for example, might have had to actually go and collect the children, who swore that it was not about a process of diluting Aboriginal culture, but that it was about taking care of children who were neglected. And then there are, of course, other people who, including many Aboriginal people themselves, of course, who say that it was very much about diluting and eradicating Aboriginal culture.
What is beyond doubt is that tens of thousands were spirited away from their families. Even in middle age, some are still trying to find out who they really are. When Ennis began researching his story, he found that his birth mother had also been taken from her family. Ennis says he's tried to reconnect with her, but she's not interested. Neither are her other children.
I can sort of understand why she's a bit standoffish, the way she would have been treated back then in 69. Well, why she was treated all through her life, through the understanding she's stolen herself. So, yeah, fully glad that I'm home, you know. I'm just a bit upset about my mother's opinion at the present minute and siblings, but I think that will come round eventually.
Levin now works in the mining industry in Western Australia. He's become close to other stolen children, though he doesn't know anyone else who was sent abroad. And even though he now knows his history, he says he still struggles.
It's a very strange road I walk here. White Aussies here see me as Aboriginal, and Aboriginals here see me as a white man in a sense. And I walk this weary path in between two cultures, if you like. I think like an Englishman inside the head, and I have black man's heart and blood.
For The World, I'm Phil Mercer in Sydney.